Let us pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are here among us, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you that wherever you are, amazing things happen in the lives of your people. And so come by the power of your Spirit to do what you intend to do. Please bless the hearing and the preaching of this word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Probably doesn't even need to be said that it's an easy thing to be a Christian when things are going well, when things are falling into place and we have our health and we have a wonderful church family to count on and a belief in God that we can acknowledge Sunday by Sunday, and our children are healthy and, you know, things just seem right. It's easy to believe in God in those times. It's a test when crisis comes. And that's what we find the disciples in the gospel lesson appointed for this day. The gospel is about to teach us the kind of faith that it takes to sustain us in good times and bad times, hard times, crises times, and the better times. Mark's gospel is so interesting. To read this fourth chapter of Mark is to be immediately confronted with some of the peculiarities of Mark's gospel. Mark is, as you may know, the basis of Matthew and Luke's gospel. That Matthew and Luke, when they wrote their gospels, had Mark in front of them. And then they added the things that they wanted to add to Mark's gospel. And so it was the first gospel that was written, and it was probably his invention. He invented the idea of gospel. And another thing that's very peculiar that would really strike us as we were reading this is that it's filled with eyewitness accounts, things that only people who were there would know for certain. But we know that Mark wasn't there. I mean, he wasn't an eyewitness to these accounts. And so when we read in this that it was evening, for example, it could have been morning or noon, could have been any time, but we know that it was evening. We know that Jesus got into the boat just as he was. And that meant that in the beginning of the chapter, we hear that Jesus had already gotten into another boat so that it was pushed away from the shore so that he could speak to the crowds on the Sea of Galilee. And so he got from in one boat to the other and didn't have a chance to go home and get all his stuff. Then we hear that they were surrounded by other boats as they took off from the Sea of Galilee. And only an eyewitness would know those things. Then it tells us that he went to the stern of the boat, the back of the boat, and lay down on a cushion. Now, why was that added by Mark if it's not to convince us that this is an actual eyewitness account? And the early church fathers were fascinating because several of them mentioned that Mark was a dictator. A dictation taker. That's what I meant. He took dictation for Peter, the Apostle Peter. And so Peter stands behind this gospel, according to some of the church fathers. But all we know is that Mark wants us to know that this is a true thing, that it really happened. And we know it happened because of all of the eyewitness accounts that are found in this gospel, chapter 4 of Mark. So chapter 3 and 4 of Mark, fascinating reading, because what it does is it tells us one day in the life of our Savior. And it starts out when he does some healings. And then there's an extraction of a demon from a demon-possessed person. And then he has an encounter with his family who comes to kidnap him because they're afraid that he's gone crazy. And then he gets into a boat because the crowds had gathered so enormously that that's where he's speaking to them from, all of these parables of the present reality of the kingdom of God. And then it tells us that he gets into another boat. They take off over the Sea of Galilee and he falls asleep. No wonder. I mean, he had to be exhausted from the day that had just been explained. We know that as they were traveling across the Sea of Galilee, this huge storm arose. And as the storm arose, Jesus was found asleep. It, again, is not surprising. It's no ordinary storm, but it's not surprising that there was a storm. The Sea of Galilee is 800 feet below sea level. It's the lowest body of living water in the world. And Mount Hermon is 50 miles away, and that's 900 feet above sea level. You get what I'm saying? Geography here. Sea of Galilee, 800 feet below sea level. Mount Hermon is 900 feet above sea level, just 50 miles away. This enormous geological difference, elevational difference, would cause a lot of storms on the Sea of Galilee. That's really what I want to say. And so they were used to storms, and they were fishermen, many of them, in the boat with Jesus. And so they must have experienced hundreds of storms during all of those years that they were fishermen. They grew up by the Sea of Galilee. They saw storms. They knew storms. But this was no ordinary storm. The gospel catches the disciples scared to death. They're frightened out of their wits because they're afraid they're going to lose their lives in this storm. So they go to Jesus and they wake him up and they say, "Teacher, don't you even care?" It doesn't even cross their minds that Jesus is the one who led them into the storm. At the very beginning of the gospel today, Jesus' idea was to get into the boat and to go to the other side and to get away from the crowds. It was his idea to lead them into the storm. Never crossed their minds that this could be the opportunity to learn the lessons that they could only learn in the midst of a storm. And so they wake Jesus. They're panicked. They're afraid they're going to die. They say, "Teacher, don't you know we're about to perish?" Jesus wakes up, and there are two things that happen. One is, he turns to the storm and says, "Be still." And the second thing that happens is that the storm calms to an absolute quiet. The wind and the waves that threatened them just seconds earlier are now absolutely, totally calm by the word of Jesus speaking into them. And they were filled with fear at that point and said to one another, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Do you see how they're filled with fear at the very beginning? The sea is turbulent and is going to overtake them, and they're scared to death for their lives. And now they're really afraid, because they see the one who has the power over wind and waves. And it says they were astonished and totally taken away with fear. In 167 B.C., you all taking notes? 167 B.C., there was a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, who came, he was a Greek king, to conquer Jerusalem. And he went into the temple and he desecrated the temple in Jerusalem. And after that, he claimed to have authority over storms. It was the most violent, uncontrollable power in the universe that he could think of. And he claimed to have power over storms. And then the Jewish scholars got together, according to second book of Maccabees, which is an apocryphal book. And according to the book, they got together and called that blasphemy, because only God, not Antiochus Epiphanes, has power over storms. And what Jesus is saying to us is, I have power over storms. I'm the one who created wind and waves and oceans and seas. I'm the one that created Mount Hermon and the Sea of Galilee. I'm the one that created it all. And I have power over it all. And by my word, the same word that was spoken to bring all things into creation from nothing, the same word is going to bring peace and calm in the midst of the storm. You see how the disciples were afraid? I mean, all the way through this, they're scared to death. They're a bunch of, they're just a bunch of afraid disciples, okay? They're scared to death. Scared of the storm, but they're really afraid of this one who has the power over the storm. The storm is less fearful because it is not something that loves or forgives or extends its reach out to anyone else. But Jesus is more fearful, and the disciples are more afraid of the one who does love and the one who has the power over the winds and the waves, more power than they ever saw in the storm, and the one that reaches out to us and offers us a relationship. The storm is power, no doubt. It scared the disciples to death. Jesus is power, more power, and he's love. And they're afraid. Jesus is saying, I am God, and I have good reason to let you through the storm, or to lead you through the storm. You will have lots of challenges, he says. There will be lots of storms, but I am the God who led you through the storm. And if you love someone who is stronger than the storm, then it's possible to find calm in the midst of storms that you will face in your life. It will be possible to rest in God, who is more powerful than any storm that you could ever imagine. And so Jesus is exercising his power that only God has. He's not calling on a higher power. He's saying, I am the power to calm the storms. Did it occur to any of you, it didn't me before studying this, but did it occur to any of you that this is an exact parallel of the Old Testament story of Jonah? I mean, it's just exactly the same story. Notice this, that Jonah and Jesus were at sea when it begins to storm, and they're in a boat. And the storm comes up, and both of them are asleep, Jonah and Jesus. And the sailors came, and they said to both of them that were asleep, don't you care? We're about to perish. Do something. And in both stories, God intervenes miraculously. He saves them miraculously. And in both, the sailors were terrified after the storm from the one who has power over the storm. In Jonah, it says the sailors feared the Lord exceedingly, and then they offered sacrifices to the God of Israel. Jonah, in the midst of the storm, says, if I die, you will live. If you throw me over, you're going to live. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says that he is the true Jonah, that one greater than Jonah is here. Jesus on the cross steered this boat into chaos of our sins, the greatest storm imaginable, the ultimate storm. And he did it as our substitute. He paid the price for our sins. And he reconnected us to true love, the one that is stronger than all the storms we will ever face in our lives. If he didn't abandon them there on the cross, he will never abandon us in the storms that we will face in our life. He shows himself to be greater than any storm that we will ever face. Jesus said, peace, be still. And the wind and the waves ceased. And the disciples said, who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.